Welcome to chapter 10 on BPO industry and employment. In this chapter, we'll quickly touch upon contribution of the outsourcing industry primarily to the economic growth of the country, and we'll touch upon what are the skills required and the employment opportunities in this industry, right? So let us look at the BPO industry's contribution to national growth, right? So you have a governing body which is the Department of Trade and Industry, known as DTI, and I've just picked up how they define a BPO or a business process outsourcing. So DTI defines business process outsourcing as the delegation of service type business processes to a third party service provider. Right? This is the official definition that DTI carries. And DTI has certain sectors designated, which I have charted down here for your reference. So the sectors covered or mentioned by them are contact centers, back office services, data transcription, you have animation, software development, engineering development, and game development. So these are the sectors charted under DTI. As I mentioned, this is the governing body for Department of Trade and Industry. So if you look at BPO as an industry, you've seen that there has been tremendous growth of this industry since inception in the 1990s, right? 1990s was just a starter, but the growth has been exemplary, and this industry is also termed as an economic powerhouse by most of the industry stalwarts, and that's largely because of its contribution to employment and growth. This is one of the largest white collar employees in the country. I hope you all are conversant with the terminologies of white collar and blue collar. If not, typical reference to a blue collar employee is to people working on the shop floor, basically production or machineries, right? White collar employees are more of office staff or people who are not on the production floor. So this industry, as you are aware, you outsource the process. There's no I would say machinery or on ground work required. It is one of the largest white collar employers in the industry, in the country, and it is also on a growing trajectory, right? As I mentioned, the growth has been phenomenal, and it is poised for further growth as well. If you look at I've covered some of the countries here, how they are performing or what do the statistics cite about these countries. So let us first touch upon India and India's offshore outsourcing industry, how or what the reflections are for this industry. So if you look at Tholon's report, which is one of the I would say topmost or one of the key research organizations. So India is one of the leading country, it's a preferred country to outsource as per Tholon's top 50 digital nations and A.T. Kearney Global Services Location Index of 2019. So India has a preference being indicated based on the survey. And you have 14 super cities listed in the report as well. It is known to offer 24/7 service, right? Also known to use the latest technology at the workplace. And it specializes in IT and software development. You have outsourcing happening for all non-regular or niche processes also. But the specialization or the mass that is available, it's more on the IT side and software development. If you look at highlights, Now these content are not something which is important from an exam perspective, but this content is important from a thought perspective in terms of knowing the standings of the various countries and what are the key points that are referred when a projection is being made. So if you see a snippet from the report, it highlights the population of the country, that's 1.24 billion. Important to mention that it indicates or captures the literacy rate, right? So if you see at this particular factor of literacy rate for India, this is 69.1%, right? Which means you have a fairly good rate, but if you, as we see the other countries, you will see that we are still lagging a lot. The proficiency in English, the ranking is 35 out of 100, right, in the world, and amongst Asia we are ranking 5th out of 25 countries that were assessed. So these are the rankings. The employment rate is 51.8%, which is kind of 50%, half of the overall stuff, and the GDP indicated is 956.9 billion, right. The government support in outsourcing, I guess India has a full support from the government to develop the IT industry. So that support is available to this industry. And the last factor mentioned was in terms of which is the industry body which is governing this industry. So you have NASSCOM, which is National Association of Software and Services Companies. So NASSCOM is the industry body in India overseeing this particular vertical. So just I would, as I mentioned, this is not something which is important from an exam perspective, but it is very, very critical from a comparison perspective as we see the other countries. So if we look at the next one, I've covered 5-6 countries here based on the reporting. So next country in highlight in this particular industry is Philippines, right? So the Philippine offshore outsourcing industry has become very, very prominent, and they have covered a lot. In fact, I would say they have captured a lot of outsourcing business. So this country, it is one of the most popular outsourcing destinations next to India, right? As I mentioned, they have caught up very well, and in the latest, I would say in the standings since 2010, this has been cited as the BPO capital of the world, right? They are capturing a lot of customers across the world and not a particular geography. And it has good cultural compatibility with the West, right, which is where there is preference in terms of engaging with the Philippine countries. The specialization in Philippines is more on outsourcing customer service roles, and these may be voice or non-voice related, and especially you will find a lot of call centers, right, or IT support centers being operated out of Philippines. Let us look at what the statistics indicate as a comparison. So you have again the population being indicated as the first point, where Philippines has a population of 106 million while this report was being taken in 2019. The literacy rate, if you see, this is 97.9, right? So if you look at what we saw earlier for India, which was just around 69, the rate here is very, very high in terms of almost nearing 100. It is 97.9, which is a very, very high rate, right? Even if you look at the English proficiency, they are doing well in terms of ranking at 20 in the world, right, and second in Asia. So the country is, I would say, on the top five, I would say, list, which has a high level of literacy and even English proficiency. Given these two factors, you will see that the employment rate is also at a high of 95.5, right? So, which is very, very good, right? And government support for this country, here also the government provides full support to develop the IT industry. Like we have NASSCOM in India, the industry body here is IBPAP, which is the body which is supporting and governing the IT business process automation in the Philippines. So, this was a quick snippet on Philippines. Let us look at the next an unusual country, which is Ukraine, right? Not very popular earlier, but now this has shot up on this industry in terms of capturing a good amount of business. So, if you look at Ukraine, this has started gaining popularity largely in the Eastern Europe. Proximity for sure is an advantage there, but it has recognition from institutes such as the Global Sourcing Association, GSA, in the UK, right, and IAOP as well as A.T. Kearney, which are the researchers. So, this country has come up well in terms of their, I would say, thirst or hunger to excel in this industry, and there is a projected increase in labor and IT outsourcing in this country. If you look at the facts, surprisingly, you will see that this all country also has a literacy rate which is 99.7, which is almost 100 and which is way off, I would say, higher than even countries like India. So, Ukraine has a very high literacy rate. Surprisingly, the proficiency is not too bad. It is not in the top, but it is at 49 in the world, which is, I would say, fair. And amongst Europe, it has a standing of 29. So, it is a little low on the English proficiency because of the language stuff. But as I mentioned, it has a very high literacy rate. And the employment rate is also fairly good at 67, right? And here the industry body is IT Ukraine Association, which is supporting this particular industry. So, we've seen India, we've seen Philippines, we've seen Ukraine. The next on this list is Poland. So, Poland is also a good player in IT in Eastern Europe. And they seem to be specializing in the financial domain, financial and accounting domain. And they have, I would say, a larger business which talks of outsourcing in this area. The cost is affordable, not too costly, which is why they are catching up with big business. Multilingualism is there, which means there is support available in terms of different languages, and they have secured regulatory compliances from different institutions to ensure that they are providing topmost data security for their clients, because countries like this, generally the concern is on the data security, but Poland is doing good to cover that particular, I would say, area. Let us look at again the highlights. So, here also you see the literacy rate is 98.74, which is very, very good. Surprisingly, the English proficiency is way better compared to Ukraine, obviously, and it is at number 11 in the world and 9 in Europe. So, that's a very high, I would say, ranking. And it has employment rate of 68.2, 1.04 trillion is the real GDP. And the industry body for Poland is the Association of Business Service Leaders, which works specifically for this industry in Poland. Moving ahead from Poland, let us look at a couple of more industries. Let us look at how Brazil is catching up on outsourcing. So, Brazil is ranked fourth by Thollens. So, this is dubbed as an alternative to India since 2010. It has done really well to come to the ranking of number four. And the outsourcing here is unrestricted since the legal law was passed in 2017. Right, so there are no hurdles to carrying outsourcing. Earlier there was issues. Typically Brazil has a different legacy or I would say legal framework also in the country. If you look at aspects of globalization, so there the promotion is in terms of doing things within the country. So if an organization say wants to buy certain global offering stuff, say for example a Cisco router, I am a global company, offices say in Asia or US, and I have a plant available in Brazil, and I'm doing a global purchase. The Brazilian enforcement would be to buy, there's no limitation or restriction on that product, but the enforcement would be to buy it within Brazil and not outside Brazil. So that's how the country I would say works in a manner. And here the companies can outsource core duties in the country, right, barring secondary services like janitor and other support roles. So let's look at the highlights of Brazil. You will see that the literacy rate for Brazil is also high at 93.2, and on an English proficiency they are ranking 59 in the world, and they are at number 12 in Latin America, the area which is covered around. Brazil has an employment rate of 62.1, and the governing industry body is ABES Software, which is a Brazilian association of software companies, right. So this is where Brazil stands. Let us look at the next country, which is South Africa. South Africa has also covered up, or I would say risen well in this particular industry. You will see that it is ranking 12th in Thorne's Digital Nations report, which is a good ranking, and it is the third largest emerging BPO geography, competing with India and the likes of Philippines. So South Africa is currently giving, I would say, good competition to the earlier leaders like India and Philippines. It is credited for its contribution to economic and social growth, right, and it also specializes in contact center and IT outsourcing. Most of its clients are in banking and finance, telecommunication, and the health industry as well. If you look at the statistics, the highlights indicate the literacy rate here is also very, very high at 99.37. So the literacy rate is pretty good. And hence the proficiency of English is at ranked at number 6 in the world, and it ranks at the topmost position in Africa. It's at number 1. So the proficiency of English ranking is number 1 in Africa for South Africa, and the employment rate here is 68.2. The industry body here is BPSA, which is a business process enabling South Africa. So these were the highlights on South Africa. Let us look at the next country, which is Malaysia. So the Malaysian offshore industry is also covering up. It is a rising country in the Asia Pacific region. It is gaining popularity in IT and IT related services, right, and it is trying to keep up or catch up with the neighboring countries with respect to infrastructure and English proficiency. If you look at the highlights, you will see that the literacy rate is very good at 98.74, and on the English proficiency they are ranked at 26 in the world, right, which is good, and number 3 in Asia, which is very, very high. That's a very good ranking. The employment rate is 68.2, and the industry body here is Outsourcing Malaysia, which handles this particular industry. Moving ahead from Malaysia, let us look at the United States industry. This is last from a country perspective, and you should not be surprised that it has come in this particular league while they were pioneers in doing outsourcing. Their industry is also now coming up. So there is a sea change in particular aspect looking specifically at United States. So this has, as I mentioned earlier, they were pioneers in outsourcing, not carrying out outsourcing business, but they have gained popularity only recently on the outsourcing business as well. And this has since 2017, the domestic outsourcing has been popular due to massive pullout of large companies. So this is, I would say, catching up. It is currently popular primarily in technical support and IT related services. So these are two key domains which are getting popularity here. From a highlights perspective, you will see that the literacy rate is 99 and the employment rate is 60, so which is fairly good from a US perspective. And the government is supporting outsourcing, slowly trying to get back more. Most of, as you must have seen, the campaigns of the political leaders in US, they're trying to take back the jobs back to the United States, most of which were being outsourced. And you have the NACC, which is the National Association of Call Center, which is the industry body for United States. So these were quick snippets on some of the countries, starting primarily, if you have observed, most of the Asian countries are leading in this industry, like India, Philippines, even Malaysia is catching up. But as one can see, the trend is becoming global, and even countries like US are coming up on this particular BPO industry. Now let us touch upon quick facts on Indian BPOs. So our interest is more in terms of getting insight on the Indian BPOs. This India is, as you are aware, a preferred outsourcing destination, and it is of course a hub of technical companies, right from the Infosys to Wipros and even MNCs like IBM's, right? So you have a large technology spread here, and it covers everything from product engineering to digital transformation, right? And the quality is also good of output, and for, of course, the cost factor from a comparative level, it's at a very low cost. And this, if you remember our earlier discussions, it happens primarily because of the valuation of the currency compared to the country from where outsourcing is happening. As I, if you remember the example I gave you of US or Europe outsourcing, a dollar or a euro there is almost 70 rupees or 80 rupees respectively here in India. So the cost aspect becomes important here, primarily in Asia. And if you just touch upon some five key facts, you will see that the BPO sector in India is estimated to reach a 54% growth in revenue. 54% growth is good. And the other point mentions that demand for Indian BPO services has been growing at an annual growth rate of 50%, which is 50% per year. So that's another interesting industry fact on BPO in India. The third point indicates that this industry has provided jobs for over 74,000 plus Indians, and this is growing on a yearly basis, and it is soon, I would say, projected to employ over 1.1 million Indians. So it is doing good, really good on the employment aspect as well, right? India has a huge population, so this is a key factor for us. You will see fact number four says that 70% of the Indian BPO industry's revenue is from contact centers, which means you have most of the contact centers operating out of India, and then you have a 20% apportioned to data entry work, and 10% is the other information technology related work, right? So you have a large setup of call centers primarily available in India. Fact number 5 mentions that the industry has handled 56% of the world's business process outsourcing business. It's a good indicator showing that we are, as a BPO industry, we are handling more than 50% of the world's outsourcing, right? So these were 5 of the facts on Indian BPOs. Let us touch upon some acts. So if you remember, we mentioned in the earlier chapters, we covered one of the topics on what kind of legal support maybe or gets required during outsourcing, and we had highlighted certain acts and laws available in India which can support the industry. So here we've touched upon 4 or 5 of them, which are I would say prime against compared to others. So the first one is IT Act 2000. So IT Act is very important in India, and this offers legal recognition to digital transformation, digital transaction signatures. This act is to the IT industry and other modes of electronic commerce. So if you are well versed with the news, you may have seen reference of the IT Act with reference to the Twitter issue going on currently, right? So the IT Act 2000 is a larger governing information technology act in play in India. The next is Indian Contract Act 1872. So this particular act or law validates the contracts with Indian firms, and it has provisions and remedies for any parties. So as you are aware and as we have discussed, contracting is a key to the engagement, and this particular law should be kept in mind when contracting is done. For sure the legal teams are aware of this. Moving forward, a couple of more. The first one is FERA, which is the Foreign Exchange Regulations Act. So any transaction between Indian residents and non-Indians is governed under this act. So one needs to assess and make sure that it is a part of the outsourcing or contractual stuff linked to FERA. And then you have the Special Relief Act 1963 SRA. This act offers specific relief in case of breaches in contracts. So as you, if you remember, handling disputes or disagreements, you need to ensure that one is clear in terms of where the arbitration will happen or which legal law of which country will take precedence. So from the Indian contract, Indian context, the Specific Relief Act is one act which can help support in case of breaches in the contract, and it can be monetary or any other form as well, right? So the breach need not be just related to monetary aspect. Then you have the Companies Act 2013. So this act helps govern the companies of India. Basically the incorporation of the company has to be in line with the guidelines from the Company Act. So the industry or the outsourcing service provider who has a shop in India, he will need to ensure that he is registered under the Companies Act and is meeting all obligations specified there. Then you have the intellectual property laws. As we all are aware, IP is an important aspect in outsourcing. IP for the current state of affairs, as well as IP that will be generated as part of the engagement. And this particular law, the Indian Patent Act 1970, Trademark Act 1999, Copyright Act 1957, these three acts are covered under intellectual property laws, and for sure they are like categoric to each I would say domain. One talks about the patent, the other just the trademarks, third one on the copyright. So these are supporting laws under intellectual property. You have then the FTDR 1992 Act, which is the Foreign Trade Development Regulations Act. Now this regulates or facilitates or takes care of the licensing requirements when you are importing or exporting. So compliance to this particular act or knowledge of this act is also important in terms of setting up shop related to importing or exporting of goods and services, right? Let us have just a quick run through on which are the leading Indian business process outsourcing companies. So we've seen some facts on the Indian BPO industry. We've also run through some acts which are supportive of this. Now let us just run through some organizations which are leading in this industry, and I've deliberately charted down names of the top 10 in the Indian BPOs, so that from a practical perspective you can correlate if you see any news about outsourcing in this particular industry and how the rankings are, or how the changes are taking place year on year. So with the last year's reference, you will see that the top 6 names here start with the first top most ranking went to WNS Group for outsourcing. The second was Wipro Spectramind. This is part of the Wipro Group. And you have Daksh E-Services, again part of IBM. Conversets, then you have HCL Technologies and Zenta. So these are the top 6. The next ones, if you see the names, they are First Source, then you have Emphasis, EXL, then Trackmail, GTL Limited, V Customer, HTMT, 24/7 Customer, and Sutherland Technologies. So if you observe page 1 where the top 6 are, and page 2, you will see that from the first top 5 or 6, you have brands which are very much known, established, and which are there for a long time. But this gives you a view in terms of how even the smaller entities are coming up, entities which were not into a larger IT business and diversified into outsourcing. No, like Wipro Spectramind is, it's like an offshoot of Wipro Group, right? HCL, again larger group. So here if you see, some of these names are not the larger IT conglomerates. They are firms which have come up and they have managed to come to a level where their standing is amongst the top 15, right? So these were just names of some of the organizations which are ranking on the Indian BPO front. Thank you.